Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the War Room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 149. Joy.
Okay.
I mean, that's a word.
You're right.
She was so good at Inside Out, wasn't she?
This is the sequel to Inside Out, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I just realized this movie made me want to watch Inside Out again, which I haven't seen
Because Inside Out was great.
I didn't like it, but this makes me want to see that movie again.
I liked it better the second time.
I did as well. Yep.
I might need to revisit it.
It's very good.
I liked it better the second time just because then I can watch other people be traumatized by Bing Bong.
Oh my God. Like that scene is just kind of like, oh Jesus. It's not a good sign when we're like three seconds in and we're like, let's talk about this other movie.
Is this a Real Spoilers rewind?
We're rewinding the movies we've already done.
Video denial.
Before we go any further, let's make the rounds around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
My name is Kelly Mano.
This is Joe.
I wasn't supposed to go yet.
You're fine.
Pretend I didn't say that.
We can fix it in post.
And we won't.
We'll do it live.
I already did it twice. You can go ahead, Kevin.
You did? I am. This is Joe. Do it again for me.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And returning with us from the last episode, she was so popular, we held her over.
Thanks for coming back, Kelly
Mano, ladies and gentlemen.
Surprise, yeah.
So, and people know you from, in case a lot of people only listen to one or the other.
Yeah, it's the Kelly Mano podcast every Monday morning at kellymano.com.
There we go.
Yeah.
She gets her shameless plug-in.
There you go.
Mondays with Mano.
There you go. I should call it
the
that.
The Morning Mano.
I should call it that.
Trademarked. Nope. Too late.
Already
trademarked it.
10% goes to the house.
It's on record right here.
So the film in question this week is Joy.
Yeah.
About a young Swedish couple who works for the orchestra. The wife dies in a kerosene lamp explosion. Wait.
I don't think that's right.
No.
That's the Ingmar Bergman movie, Two Joy.
Oh.
I think I saw the wrong film.
No, old timey reference.
This one.
Old timey foreign reference.
You're wrong. This one was about a mop for 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the result of David O. Russell and Jennifer Lawrence just thinking they could do anything.
This was probably a bet. I bet you this was a bet that someone lost. Oh, you can't. Okay, we're great. You know, Silver Linings Playbook. We've got American Hustle. Mm-hmm. Okay, make a movie about a mop. Okay.
Done.
And
yeah, I have to believe it's the hubris of David O. Russell thinking that he could turn a turd into a shiny turd.
I think he just got fascinated with a person.
Yeah.
I think he got caught up in this woman's personality.
That could be true, yeah.
Joy Mangano, did I say it?
Yeah.
And I think he found her riveting, and he wanted to tell that story. And that story just maybe wasn't quite as interesting to the rest of the
world. It was not.
Well, because he made up a lot of it. I mean, it was very loosely based on a true story.
Yeah, I had a feeling that that would be the case if we drilled
down. Do we know what parts were true before we go further?
She made a mop.
She's never even touched a mop.
She's a person. That's the part that was true. Right.
I want to say she didn't have a sister.
Okay.
I think I could be wrong, but I read afterwards that the big character of her mean sister never even existed.
That's a
big embellishment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then also I heard that the, you know, the narrator, that they had to put that in afterwards because the movie was so confusing to everybody, because the narrator kicks the bucket halfway through the movie. How does your narrator
die?
That's
true. That's a good point. She does.
I did think that was a weird choice too, though. Yeah, when I saw it happen, I'm like, but wait,
maybe the
was...
movie should stop then.
Well, I forgot.
It should have.
I forgot there even was a narrator, and this creepy voice comes back on, and I'm like,
creepy
ghost
ghost voice.
Mm-hmm. Ghost grandma.
Exactly. And the grandma looked too much like the mom. I kept getting confused.
Yes.
Gosh.
I did the same thing.
Thank you. I thought I was an idiot. I was poking the lady next to me because my husband
was like,
was
either
snoring.
This lady got pregnant when she was 5 or she gave birth to a 14-year-old.
Yes.
I don't know which it is.
I don't know. But science. Either one creeps me out.
They both creep me out. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
So I guess let's start at the beginning. Joe, you are a synopsisizer.
Oh, man. So the movie opens with just a parody of a soap opera. And I, as soon
what
as,
was that about?
As soon as it starts, I was like, out. I don't know what happened. I don't remember what they were talking about, but it was like Falcon's Crest, I guess.
Which they I don't even think it was that good.
They referenced Falcon's Crest. So I like that's just where my brain went with. I was like, is that supposed to be like a rip on Falcon's
Crest?
Well,
I thought
like
Falcon Crest is not possessive.
There was only one Falcon, yeah, sir.
It's Falcon Crest.
I was
going to
let it slide, but if we're going to keep saying it for the whole show.
Yeah, I'm well. Like,
but if you want to say not landing.
Not landing.
The little soap opera world kind of paralleled what they were doing, and she was having dreams about it.
Yeah, that's true.
And then it just, poof, vanished.
Right.
And you didn't hear about it the rest of the movie.
That is correct. So we are introduced to 14-year-old Joy, who is building this like paper mache
origami
farm town, and like her half sister is kind of like leaning over her, and she's telling this big story about
how did she invent Farmville?
Yes, that's the whole story.
She got that stolen too.
Yeah, right.
Poor lady.
And then like her parents, I'm trying to think. Her parents come in and they're getting divorced, and then they destroy this little paper town, and then it's supposed to be like super like sad and a metaphor, because like the one sister, the half sister, goes with Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, and then she stays with who played the mom. I know the mom. I recognize the gal who played her. To the IMDb's.
Yes.
I didn't know we were gonna go
this
that
is depth. Very
well, like, because
Diane Ladd was the grandma, right?
Yeah. But, like, I mean, there's a lot of
acts. Bradley Cooper.
That's who it was.
I was wondering, I'm like, where's Bradley Cooper? He was the grandma.
He was the grandma. Bradley Cooper just going all in on the role.
Virginia Madsen?
Yeah, Virginia Madsen.
Yeah, there
Thank you
go.
You. Yeah. And then we flash forward to Joy as an adult, played by Jennifer Lawrence. And, like, Virginia Madsen, who plays her mother, has become completely secluded off in this room. And she has to watch her soaps.
Just watching her soaps.
All day.
Leaving old yogurts on the ground.
So gross. And then Joy apparently is a flight attendant or a flight stewardess or works for an airline. And she's trying to get out of the house. And one of the things about David O. Russell is he's really good at giving you a family that you just like want to punch in the face.
Yeah. Her family was so weird.
Like I wanted to punch every single, yeah, except for her children who were fine, but everybody else involved in her like familial life were awful.
No charming qualities, like nothing you could grab onto in any of them.
It was weird. I thought it was going to be like, oh, it's this quirky family. I'm like,
right.
No, they're
you
all just
them.
Evil SOBs.
It's tough. Like I feel like in Silver Linings Playbook, they skirted that line where like De Niro was. Like, he had moments where he was awful, but then
he still
he had,
came back.
But
he liked it.
But he had other moments where, like, they were watching the Philadelphia Eagles
game.
Which
he put him in his place.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But you didn't despise him. Like, the whole time, I'm thinking, this family is so weird and so odd, the way they talk to her and treat each other. I just couldn't. All the connections were just odd. Like, with the person that financed everything, you know?
Yeah,
and
that
like,
was
those
another
interactions
weird one.
With, like, him telling her what to do and then her telling Joy what to do. It just was an odd.
Did I miss some reason that they never showed the other kid? She had two children throughout
the
movie.
Well, I was just about to ask. I thought she had one. She
had
two.
She had a boy and a girl.
You only saw the girl.
No, you saw the boy in the beginning, but he gets sick. Like, he's got, like, a cold or something, and then you never see him again.
But even when he's sick and in the bed, all you see are his legs.
That's true.
The only time you see his face is in the funeral scene for her grandma, and I thought maybe there was a reason for that
okay,
that went over my head.
I'm not going to lie. We'll jump a little ahead a little bit. Actually, I'd like to jump to the end if we could just
please.
Do that.
Yeah.
So the narrator of this entire film is her grandmother, who believes that Joy is destined for bigger and better things. So she's narrating the entire thing. So there's a scene where the grandmother ends up dying. And when she goes home...
I liked her. She was the only likable one in the family.
I
for
thought
real.
They had right. killed the son.
I thought they did too.
Well, yeah, because I was because I was looking around the room. They're all looking very sad.
I saw everybody.
And I know, and I go, who else is there?
That's the problem with the grandmother and the mother looking the same. It's like it didn't even click.
Because I looked around and go, who is dead? Yeah. I'm like, right. Who could this be?
And the only reason I thought that is they had referenced that he had gotten sick like earlier in the movie. And I was like, oh man.
Just out of nowhere. And then you never see him again.
Yeah. And I was like, if they kill this kid...
I thought it was very odd, the scene where she sits down on his bed, how you never see his face.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, what? Like,
they couldn't pay the kid.
I know.
The kid wanted too much money.
I was like, is this like Plan 9 from Outer Space? Like, they had to...
The kid saw the movie, and he's like, I'm
no,
out. Yeah. You
cut
did not show
out.
My
cut
face
me out
movie.
Of this movie. Yeah. So Joy ends up going, like, as she's trying to get herself together to get out the door, you know, she's giving the kids to her grandmother to take to a birthday party. We are introduced to her, I guess it's her sister, who you would recognize as a former ADA on Law and Order. Mm-hmm. I think that's where I knew her from. And then it's Laura Wright, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think that's it.
Because every time she came on the screen, it went dung, dung.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah. You're really,
oh, I know her.
You and Hang'em High McCoy, like, you guys were pretty tight. So then
her ex-husband lives in the basement.
Her ex-husband lives in the
which
basement.
Which is odd for, like, three years.
I feel like he was trying to be, you find out that he wanted to be a singer, and he just has this weird microphone set up in his basement, so he just sings into the microphone, and he's like, I'm going to be the next Tom Jones, and she's like, there already is a Tom Jones, and he's like, yeah, but I'm going to be another one, and he's not, like,
no.
It's fine. And then De Niro kind of shows up, this, like, it's all, everybody kind of, all of your characters glom into this first scene, so then De Niro shows up as, like, her
it was
dad.
It was very forced.
It was very forced. Like we have to get everybody into this scene.
Was it the sister or the ex-wife drops him off? It's like, I'm done with him.
Yeah, his ex-wife was like, you can have him back.
You can have him back. I thought that was a funny, like, I liked that line, you know, as weird
and
as the
just
scene
kinda,
was.
He's standing there with, like, a bundle of clothes.
Yeah, it's like, that's kind of funny. You can have him back.
And it's like, it felt like everything about this movie... feels so, like, you know, Jennifer Lawrence, I think, is a fantastic actress. I think she's amazing to watch.
She was great.
She did everything she could with what she was given, and it just wasn't.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's so hard to watch her try as hard as she can while everyone around her is just completely
sucking.
Off.
I don't think it had anything to do with any of the cast.
I think
this script by David O. Russell was a piece of dog poop.
You're right.
There was nothing for them to do. I thought Bradley Cooper was excellent when you see him for the 10 minutes on screen, like in the little three lines he has, like, they're good. It's just,
the only two relationships in the whole movie that I cared about was hers with Bradley Cooper and hers with her friend Jackie.
Yeah.
They were the two relationships that I think most people kind of clung to, and they were the least shown.
And you kind of like those too.
Yeah,
like,
and
you know,
they were barely
interesting
grazed.
Characters. Yeah.
Yeah. And they focused so much on her and Robert De Niro, and I thought their chemistry was
crap and weird, and the
whole movie was miserable.
It really is.
Usually, at least in these, like, I guess it's not even a dramedy because it's not funny at all. There were no little quirky funny parts.
It's not like Silver Linings where it's serious
or
tackling
American Hustle.
Serious,
like, American Hustle
matter.
Had, like, those, you know, that scene in American Hustle where Bradley Cooper gets the microwave and he's like, don't put anything in the microwave, like, don't put any metal in the microwave. And she's like, why? And she's putting metal in the microwave and then, like, blows up. Like, you know, it seems like that, like, those first two flicks, you're just like, oh, like, these are really good. Like, Silver Linings Playbook is still one of my favorite.
I love
like, that was
two
so
movies.
Good.
Can we just talk about those?
Yeah.
They're so good.
Yes, please.
Yeah, this was like just 2 hours of depression.
It
I
was.
Wanted to, like, drive off a bridge on the way home.
Yeah. Yeah, like, nothing.
We're glad you didn't because we had an empty seat to fill.
So she ends up going to work, and then she gets moved from, like, I guess she kind of gets into it with a customer, but they don't really give you any context as to why she got it. Like, you see from her point of view where the customer's kind of being a dick, and she's trying to be like, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, or whatever. And then they're like, oh, by the way, you're getting moved to the night shift because of your attitude. And it's just kind of like, where did that come? Like, why? She was being nice. I don't know what happened.
I think there actually was an explanation. We were all sleeping for that part.
Oh, that could have been.
Just all
that could have been very true. Yeah. I was out.
On average, you fall asleep before that scene, and then you wake
then
up.
You wake up.
Yeah. When Rob De Niro's saying something really jerky to
her. Right.
Yeah, that's where you move on.
So I'm trying to think if now we jump to...
Her dad meets a 1-900 lady. Yes. I guess
that is hilarious.
Like, before Match.com. I thought those were just pervert lines. I didn't think you actually met people.
It was like a dating phone line for, like, older folks.
Yeah, she's like, it's like, it's a dating line for widows and widowers. And she's like, you're neither of those. She's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
And at first, I thought he was saying that, but it was like a sex line. Like, right. I thought he was totally like, yeah, this is a dating line.
Right.
He's just calling the dirty numbers.
And at first, she was really charming and kind of fun, and her character turns to, but...
Oh, yeah. She was like Isabella Rossellini's mm-hmm. in this movie.
Right.
Like, that's, you know... So Joy kind of says... She leaves, and then she realizes, I think she has like a sit down with her grandmother, and her grandma's like, you were supposed to be, it was like this backhanded compliment where she's like, you were supposed to be more, you were yeah. supposed to be more than
you're
this.
You're supposed to be awesome, but apparently
but
you're not.
Suck.
Yeah.
Like you are a disappointment to this entire family. And I want to be like, everybody in this god dang movie is a disappointment to everybody. You're all awful. Yeah.
And they all live in her house.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, she's like the wet blanket that just gets crapped on.
Yeah,
constantly.
That's why I felt so bad. Like, the family members were so mean, and she was the one working and supporting everybody. And
right.
Like,
well,
I felt so bad.
Like, she was being held back
by their
laziness.
Right. So they go make a point to tell you she was the top of her class in high school.
Valedictorian.
She got into... like Boston College or something, like some massive college, but she stayed home because she had to take care of
her dad
or the family in mm-hmm. general. So she does her dad's taxes, she does her dad's books because she's super smart. And so she has to sit down with the grandmother, and she devises this this idea for, you don't know what it is when she's making it. And then she takes it to, oh, so at this point, De Niro has started dating Isabella Rossellini's character, Trudy.
And she has a lot of money and a fancy boat.
Correct, which they tell you a lot.
Yes.
And then, like, you know, she has this big, this really weird speech where she asks these three, they show her the mop, which is what it turns out to be. It's the first
self-ringing. Yeah, when they're on the boat, they break a bottle of wine, and Joy ends up mopping up the wine, and she cuts her hands,
right?
Because all the glass gets embedded in the mop, and when she wrings the mop out, it slices her hand open.
So
she has this stroke
epiphany
of genius
to make a self-ringing mop,
which is where I thought the movie was going to pick up, because her brain is churning and she's home and she's drawing, and I'm like, okay, the movie's getting good.
Nope.
Yeah,
it does not. Don't worry. Have no fear. So she lays her plan out to De Niro and Trudy, and they just kind of, she's like, look, my husband said I'm not supposed to waste a single penny of the money that he's left me, you know, and ask these three questions. And the three questions are like, you know, if there's a somebody in front of you who is your adversary and there's a gun on the table,
do you pick it up?
And I was like, you know, and Jennifer Lawrence has this ability, like, if you've seen her in X-Men or you've seen her in The Hunger Games, she has this ability to go, like, stone face.
Right.
And, like, oh, like, you mean business, then you're going to beat the crap out of somebody. And she does it here.
She does it, but it's, like, such a dumb scene.
It is a dumb scene.
Because it's, like, it's a hypothetical. Well, who's going to say, no, I'll let them kill me.
And again,
like, it's so obvious which answer she wants.
Correct.
Yeah.
And for a brief moment, I thought she was spinning when she was, like, she has a thing about, like, then Trudy has a comment about, I'll remember this when I had my lawyers rob the county. Like, I thought that was going to be like, oh,
was going to play a part.
Because, like,
yes!
Maybe we'll become adversaries.
Maybe she's going to pick
right.
up a gun.
You thought that was a good answer, but it was a bad answer, but that
which
wasn't what happened
do.
At all.
Like, if you stay to the end of the movie,
yeah,
they end up do becoming adversaries. Because I think at one point, like, I think they say as they're wrapping up is that the sister...
I thought that was the dad and the sister, though. I don't know about that.
It has to be Trudy as well. I mean, it's her money. She would have to be involved.
These are different transactions.
Yeah,
they come after her
for part of her business or something.
Yeah.
But they don't really become adversaries as much as they have a difference of opinion about the business that they're working on
together.
I see. You know what I'm saying?
If
next week I want to do one movie and Kevin wants to do another, we're not adversaries. If Kevin goes off and starts another podcast,
that's true.
Then we're adversaries.
Just for one movie.
Right.
I'm going to call it real spoilers.
Like, if Kevin's
Z.
on, like, yeah. I don't know, like a monkeys podcast or something like that.
Oh, I see.
Would never happen. Well, so I'd like to jump in at this point and say,
please do
this, because this might be more interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, it probably is.
So this is a point where I have to say that trailer is one of the most misleading trailers
yes.
for this movie I have ever seen, because that scene is in the movie. that scene is in the trailer, and then her wearing sunglasses and being like, I'm going to get what I want. Yeah. And then, oh, there's a loaded
the strut
gun. They make it, yeah, they make and it look like this scene, movie halfway, she turns into some kind of vigilante badass.
Well, and then they also have a clip from the scene where she's like, you know, I won't accept your I don't accept you, and I won't. And it's like,
and when she's
like,
talking
if
the
you
sister,
watch the trailer, there's not a mop in the whole trailer.
No. Right. I thought this was going to turn like she makes a mop.
I thought
and then,
she became like a crime boss.
I thought
that's
so
what
too.
I thought
yeah.
too.
Like, that's what
that's
the trailer
exactly
makes you
and I was like, oh, wow, she like takes over this yeah. crime family? Like,
I thought
that's
that for her
cool.
dad, yeah. I thought, this is how I thought in my head, the dad's business is going to have trouble. She's doing the books for her dad's business. Some like enforcer type guys come and start trouble. Then she starts, she gets a gun and she starts being a
go make that movie.
I know.
We'll do it next week.
Yeah.
So it's like, so it was the
Joy
biggest,
2.
It was
yeah.
the biggest
Reloaded.
Bait and switch. I think they had this movie made, and they go, we have to package this trailer differently yeah. because no one is going
to
watch.
Because nobody wants to watch
exactly.
the trailer yeah.
Of QVC.
Well, of somebody polishing a turd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So
trying really, really hard.
I was so disappointed because I saw the trailer for this a long time ago, and then I saw it, and I was like, okay, when is that part going to happen? Like,
right.
when is it going to pick
Guess
up?
Guess what? It End does. Of the movie. That's when it happens.
For 2 minutes, and then it's...
I did think that the Melissa Rivers cameo was cute as her
is that,
mom.
Is that who that was?
That yeah. was her doll. I mean, she okay. didn't sound anything like her, but I thought it was cute
kinda
to include.
Like
and, I could have used a little bit more of that. Just anything funny.
Just anything. Yeah, just anything that, like, any levity whatsoever.
Well,
and
was
there
that
isn't
Melissa
any.
Rivers trying to be Joan Rivers?
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that either.
I heard it, and I thought, I was like, that sounds like Joan Rivers.
Yeah, that was her daughter playing her mom. And
okay.
her daughter's not an actress or by any stretch, but...
No, I picked up because I heard it and I go, that sounds just like Joan Rivers. But
is that where Joan Rivers
dead.
Started?
I believe.
No, Joan Rivers started on the Ed Sullivan
show.
She was
a comedian, right?
But she sold a lot on
yeah,
QVC.
No, she was. Okay, you asked old timey comedy.
There
right?
we go.
I did.
Yeah.
Hang on.
No, yeah.
So Joan Rivers is a comedian from like the. She originally, I think, was appearing like the Ed Sullivan show.
As a stand up comedian?
Yeah, as a stand up.
She was on Carson all the time.
Yeah,
right?
And she was a big deal with Carson. Carson loved her.
What was her shtick?
Her shtick back then was, well, when she first started. Her shtick was like a kind of an unhappy housewife.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it I was kind of, you know, now you're talking like 64, 65, 66, you know?
Sure.
And so that was, she was really edgy. I mean, you didn't get a lot of female comedians back then. And then her attitude was so like, oh, I hate my husband. I hate, like, that was just like, that was really edgy for the time, you know? Where
yeah, you had her and Phyllis Diller.
Yeah, you're 10 years removed from I Love Lucy.
Okay.
Like, think about that.
Yeah,
so, like, she was pretty edgy. And then she kind of, they never really could figure out what to do with her in TV and film because she was kind of so, I don't know, like just so
polarizing.
Yeah, and like kind of brassy and like
acerbic.
Yeah, and
you kind of love her or hate her. You know, she had that.
I loved her, and her and Carson ended up having a huge falling
out.
That was my next question.
Because
like, there was a big to do about.
So what had happened was, so in the 80s, she had a real resurgence, and she had kind of come up with this character who was a reoccurring character in her stand-up routine called Heidi Abramowitz, and Heidi Abramowitz was this big slut. And it was, I don't think it was really designed to be this way.
Yeah.
But it served the benefit of, she could tell all these slut jokes without just like casting women as sluts. It was just this one character.
I'm with you.
It was Heidi Abramowitz. And so she had books about her. It was a huge deal. She was like one of the first like big comedians that did jokes about going to the OBGYN. I remember my mom took me to see, we had tickets to the Foxwood season tickets. So I would see all these comedians. I talked about Bill Cosby last night. I saw Joan Rivers in like 83, 84. And I remember like my mom's just like crying. She's laughing so hard. And I don't even get half the jokes. And I'm like, I don't understand what. And finally, like, at the end, I was like, what's an OBGYN? And then when she explained, when she told me what that was, I'm like, oh, well, now I get like 60% of the jokes. Like, but, so she was the guest host for Carson. She was Carson's go-to fill-in.
Okay.
And so she guest hosted the show like just tons. And he was basically priming her to take over the Tonight Show.
Okay.
And she got tired of waiting, and Fox wanted to start a late night talk show. And so she went over to Fox.
Oh.
And
was his competition.
It
wasn't
was his
she?
Competition. She started a half an hour earlier,
so
I believe.
She went she tried to go toe to toe with Carson.
Yeah. And then also she made the mistake of not telling Carson, and Carson just found out in the trades.
Mm-hmm.
And Carson would not never talk to her again. Like, she called to explain, he was just like, click.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he put her on the map. That's pretty.
Well, no,
move,
she was
right?
already known, but he definitely helped her career.
I mean, he was fiercely loyal and expected.
Yeah.
That
he was obsessed with loyalty.
And
like,
then
you had to be
competition. That's that's a rough move.
And so, she was banned from the Tonight Show.
Yep.
And that ban
went all the way through Leno, right?
Went all the way through Leno and went through Conan.
Fallon said,
on Fallon's first episode, he had her do a walk-on.
Right.
And that was the first time she had been on the Tonight Show since the 80s.
Did she guest, though? Like, didn't he have her on as a guest, too?
I don't remember if she came back as a guest, because she died pretty shortly after that.
Yeah.
But people were kind of mad at Leno for upholding that ban. But
I guess he was showing loyalty.
But Leno was like, in Leno's defense, and that's something you won't hear me say very often, is that I think he felt like, you know, he owed where he was at to Carson.
Right.
And Carson was like, you need to be loyal to me. And even after Carson was dead, he was still like, I'm not going to do that to Carson.
You would think that would even... Well, Conan didn't have enough time to do it.
No.
Yeah, he didn't have enough window. Yeah,
Conan was like, I'm going to let... Oh, you're fired.
Yeah. Never mind, you're going to 9:30.
And that might have been why Fallon did it so quickly. Like, you know,
get out of the way.
I don't know how much time I got, so let's go ahead and get this
out of the
way.
Well, and I mean,
now.
Just like, he was probably kind of... You know, he might have been like, oh, it's a shame that didn't get to happen.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True. That was actually... That's one of my favorite skits from that show, is like when everybody comes
when
walking
out. When all the people
out,
start...
Putting like the $100 on his desk.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. Back to this piece of shit.
Anyway.
So Joy creates the self-rigging mop. She goes to everybody. She gets the money.
So she says she goes through her lawyers, and the lawyers find there's someone in California that owns a patent that might be similar.
Yeah.
So we have to pay them off because of this patent. And then also, they manufacture stuff, so we're going to use them.
Well, also, like Oscar Isaac. He's way better. He's none of this movie.
Oh, he plays the mop.
Yeah.
he's that good.
Right. Yeah. The ex-husband who lives in their basement, who is kind of like Joy's advisor and friend, is kind of like, look, man, like, this is shady.
He really cares about her. I mean,
he's
like one of the good guys of this movie. And, you know, we don't really know.
You think when you first see him, he's going to be a deadbeat.
Right.
And he is kind of a deadbeat, but...
Well, he's a struggling artist. You know, he's a musician.
He's got the best intentions for Joy.
He's not like
and
a bad...
And his kids. Like, his kids are also there, so it's not like he's going to screw her over.
Right. I like that actor, too. Edgar Ramirez?
Yeah.
What has he been? I mean, he's been in a lot of stuff.
So he's in Point Break.
Well, that doesn't count.
No,
he
was in the Devil, or Deliver Us from Evil, which was that cop / possession movie.
Oh, Zero Dark Thirty. I don't know how big of a role he had, but like I've seen him as a character actor
Zero.
And stuff. He was Zero.
He was Zero.
Oh, I thought he was 30.
Are you just saying that because he's dark skinned? Are you?
No, I would say he played Dark 30.
but he is. I think he was almost. He was in the running for. Doctor Strange.
Oh, okay.
At one point. Yeah, he was like one of the top contenders.
He's a good actor. I'd like to see him more.
I like him. Mm-hmm. So he's just kind of like, look, this doesn't seem right. He's like, you're throwing around your lawyer is this guy, and like he's connected to this other guy. Like everything seems kind of a little too easy.
Yeah, and the fact that they had the people manufacturing it that they had to pay off because they supposedly had this patent, I'm like, this is not going to go well.
Yeah, no, it doesn't go well for anybody.
No.
Except
even the viewers.
Especially for the viewers.
Yeah.
it was almost like the trade embargoes and all this. Episode one. So they're, you know, she gets everything up and rolling, but the only problem
nothing makes for a more riveting film than patent law.
Patent law.
Yes.
that she's able to learn in all of, like, A Night.
Did Lord George Lucas co-write this with David O. Russell?
Speaking of A Night, did you guys have any concept of time in this movie? Because
no.
Her style seemed to change from maybe like late 80s to like early 90s, but her kid didn't age. And I was I'm like, did this whole mop thing take place in a month or 5 years?
That's a great question. I wasn't sure either. Skipped around.
They mentioned 19, like I feel like I remember them saying 1995 at one point.
The bangs were like 1992. I was watching the hairstyles and I knew, you know, I know my Aquanet, so I knew exactly what time they were trying to reference. And I did think the styling was good for that time. I mean, that was cute to see the old cars and, you know, stuff like that. But I had no idea how long this movie would.
No, long enough.
Yeah.
Apparently it too starts long. In 1989
Boom.
For reference. So,
well done. Well
and
done.
Then
and it ends in.
And I don't see there's no timeline because I don't think anyone knows, even including David O. Russell.
Okay,
but it starts in 89.
Because her hair changes. And her kid doesn't grow, so yeah. I was confused.
Maybe the kid's got some weird disease. Where
no,
just,
but
like,
that
Barry Coleman-itis.
That poor little girl, you know, as a mom, or anyone, as a parent, the little girl in the movie is just miserable the whole time.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
is no joy in that little girl's life.
Except for her mother.
And nice. But it was just hard to watch.
Yeah, it was. Like, mm-hmm. that kid is, like, the entire time you're like, get that poor kid out of that house.
And she looks exactly like my daughter. My husband,
oh, really?
I went home. I slept in her bed last night with her because I just watched this movie of a little girl just like her and was miserable
the entire time.
And my husband's like, you coming to bed? I'm like, nope, I'm staying in here with the baby.
So she ends up trying to get, she creates this mop. She makes like, I don't know, 5,000 of these mops.
And she's trying to sell them in Kmart parking lots.
She's
trying to sell them to everybody at first.
Yeah, right. She didn't realize how hard it is to get shelf space in a store.
No one wants to take this.
And
item
they do
on.
Like the one of the little things that they do is like she's out there in the Kmart parking lot and she's showing, and so she ends up having her friend come over and then
Which
she
I
starts.
Great.
To, I thought
yeah,
that was,
this was
this
a good scene.
This was
yes.
a great scene.
Yeah,
and it comes back later.
It does.
And I thought that was clever.
Yeah. So she's out there and she's not getting anybody to bite. It's an old timey.
It's the classic like Jersey boardwalk scheme.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Snake oil salesman trying to sell something, and then she walks
you,
away.
You, sir, try this.
And pretends to be a customer
Correct.
While her friend
I'll
sells
take two.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like,
That's
that
what
scene,
she says.
That scene is great. Like, I loved that scene. And then, of course, it's gut-wrenching again.
Because she gets taken to jail.
Right. So, like, her ex-husband walks by with her Guido, or with his Guido, like, girlfriend,
yeah.
and, like, the two,
and he can
the
say
two bodyguards. Yeah, I can say that's fine. The two bodyguards, and, like, they start busting, like, the girlfriend starts busting Jennifer Lawrence's balls about,
can't believe you have your daughter
yeah,
out here.
Right, right.
I'm
and then
just like,
then you see the cops off in the distance, and then they take everything, and then she's like, I'm going, and then they end up arresting her.
They don't arrest her. They take her mops, and she's like,
I
need
those.
She's like,
how does she, oh, she gets arrested.
They let her go.
Then when does she get arrested?
She gets arrested in the factory.
In the factory.
That's
right.
But they just
okay.
take her mops. She's like, those things cost $20, or like, just I won't come here again. But you could tell she had been there two or three times.
Yeah, she's gotten caught before. So she realizes she's kind of in the weeds, and then I'm trying to think how they get to QVC.
The ex-husband knows a guy.
So like they're sitting there at this like all despair.
Because he worked at Campbell's.
Is that the deal?
He worked at Campbell's Soup.
Oh,
and now
okay.
this guy works at QVC.
Okay. So and it's just like there's no money left. Like we have to do all this different stuff, and like Isabella Rossellini's character is like, I can't believe I trusted you, and everybody is just like throwing garbage at Jennifer Lawrence at this point. They're like, you're awful, and
right.
you know,
you're gonna have to take a second mortgage on your house.
Well, that's
coming
up. That doesn't happen yet.
Oh, okay.
Because the second mortgage is so she can make all the mops.
So they get to, you know, she gets to QVC through the
connection. According
to
Wikipedia, Joy is advised by Trudy to take out a second mortgage on her home in order to pay the growing workforce. And then she gets confronted by the police in the Kmart parking lot. And all
she advises
that.
Her to, but she won't
yeah.
do it.
Well, I know.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
yeah,
that they're
oh, okay,
telling
okay, okay.
her to take out a
right,
second
right,
mortgage.
Right. That's right. She walks out of the office and she's like,
I don't
they
remember
want
the
me.
Second mortgage until QVC's like, you need to make all these mops.
Right. Well, I think.
No, she does that because she knew she had to. But Robert De Niro and Trudy say, you're going to have to take out a second
yeah,
mortgage.
There's that,
like,
they have that meeting in the office and at De Niro's car shop.
Yeah.
And as she's walking out, I think she talks to the friend and they're like, what do they say? This they want me to take a second mortgage on the house. And that's kind of the last time we hear about it until they get to the QVC thing. So she sits down with Bradley Cooper.
I might have been peeing.
You should have been.
Or sleeping.
Or
like
sleeping.
I said, it's very, yeah. very valid.
Oh, I don't pee while I sleep anymore.
Oh, good. That's
yeah.
good. Well, it's going to come back
later.
We have
later. Those diapers.
Yeah,
now.
I'm sure it will. Peeing right now.
So she goes to QVC and she has a sit down with Bradley Cooper. And Bradley Cooper's, and again, like, I forgot how much I like this guy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I haven't seen Bradley Cooper in forever. Like, Groot or Rocket was the last time mm-hmm. that I saw Bradley Cooper. Was it
Bradley
Chef?
Bradley Cooper's been in movies since Guardians of the Galaxy, hasn't he?
No, he had that cooking movie. That
no
was it.
Way.
Burnt. Yeah.
That was the last thing I remember him.
I'm going to have to look that up just because I feel like I've seen him recently. Maybe not.
No,
I don't.
Really?
How long ago was Burnt?
A year
couple
ago?
Months?
No.
Couple
well,
months.
Burnt was recently.
How long ago was the Soldier one?
Oh, American Sniper. American Sniper.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay,
okay, okay.
The Rubber Baby.
The Rubber Baby,
oh,
yes.
Man, that was bad. Oh, that's what I remember. He was in.
Oh, you're forgetting Aloha.
Oh, no,
excuse me.
No, I'm not.
Cameron Crowe's Aloha.
Wet Hot American Summer was the last.
The Limitless TV series.
Yeah.
Is he on that?
Yeah.
He
really?
Plays the same character as like a little cameo type role that comes on and says a few things.
That movie wasn't
not
enough
bad.
To save it. so, you know, he kind of says this is a good idea. He's like, How fast can you get me?
I like the scene where she's in the boardroom and he's like, you don't know where you are right now.
Yeah, she's like,
no, I did love his monologue here. So like, again, yeah, this was maybe one of the writing. I mean, there's very few lines I like in this, but I do like how he gives this whole explanation of, I used to be the number one buyer for Kmart or whatever. And then I'd blah, blah,
and before
blah.
That I worked at and Kmart. Then, yeah. Before that I was the cashier.
I liked that. Yeah, yeah. And then now he's at QVC and like that whole thing I thought was really good. And he delivers that.
He does. You know? Yeah. And that's, I think that's Bradley Cooper. Like Bradley Cooper is fantastic.
I felt bad for her when all the asshole 70-year-old board members were making fun of her. Like they were joking around and she's there really trying to sell her product.
She's like, those are my shoes.
Yeah. And that's when he comes in and gives that little speech. But I felt so bad for her. I'm like, oh, these assholes.
Yeah. That's a old, you know, the old man's business.
I thought he was going to grow into a love interest. Is that
that's
a total?
What I
is that
too.
A total chick thing?
No, because
no,
like,
that's where they were. That's where
they
were going,
always end
sure.
up together.
You were shipping
in,
that,
in
huh?
like in.
I don't remember a movie I've seen where there wasn't some kind of love interest in there somewhere.
There was no love in this movie at
None.
All.
and I
a love for a mop.
I think Anal Invaders 19, there wasn't a love interest.
And been. A mop.
Lots of sex, but
well, I mean, after 18, yeah. I mean, you can't top
what
that.
What more do you want to do?
Well, 18 was heartbreaking, so it just
I'm still.
She said she would never love again.
It's the empire of, you know, anal movies.
The mop broke.
There you go.
Did they use the same mop? Was it the same one?
Lots of self-ringing. Yeah. Lots of self-ringing.
Yeah, it's got that, you know, piece that goes up and down. It's fine.
Oh, what? Yeah. So back to this movie. Yeah.
So he kind of says, like, how fast can you get us 50,000 units?
50,000.
Yeah, and she was like, oh, can you make us? And she was like, yeah, I guess. Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think so she ends up getting it all squared away and she starts putting up all this extra money and she's got all these units. And then the big deal is like they're going to have their number one seller get on there.
Yeah, I like the fact that he wasn't trying to screw her. Like,
no,
he,
no,
he
like,
was with her the whole time.
In
he's
either
like,
sense of the word.
but that he like
he believed in her.
We'll give you the best salesman we got.
Right.
And he'll go on and he'll because this guy's amazing. And he, you know,
micro.
And, what's that?
Was it micro?
Yeah. No, it was not. But and then he goes on and he completely he
mucks
doesn't know,
it up.
He doesn't know how he to demonstrate the mop because right. I mean because that's women's work.
Right.
And that's about what they're trying to say. Like that's they're saying that without saying that.
Yeah.
Okay. So there were two scenes in this movie that were extremely stressful to me. And the
two,
first,
there's more than two for me, but I hear what you're
saying.
But
there are two scenes where I literally got like so stressed out watching. And after she's mortgaged her house for a second time, put up, made 50,000 units, and the guy goes on QVC to sell this thing. He's like,
he
can't even use it.
Well,
they just instantly just go to the next
person. Well, like it's also bad because like he turns it upside down. And he's like, oh, my cups are all wet. And
it's
just like,
it's horrible. And then they go to the next person.
It's like, do you not know how physics work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but, this isn't advanced. That's just gravity. Right.
And which, obviously, he should have he like just thought he could go on there and sell it. He should have figured it out first. But then they cut to the person selling like dresses. And they look at Jennifer Lawrence. They look at the family. They look at the TV. They look at her. And I am just like, oh, my God. Like, this scene really got me invested. And
well,
again,
also,
I like her. So, like, her character's fine. And I'm feeling so bad for her at this point.
That scene is so they switch to the second best salesman or whatever,
yeah.
And she's selling
dresses
from Falcon Crest,
from Falcon singular
Falcon Crest.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, the mop was $20 and they could not get a single unit. These dresses are $300
and they're like
we've
boom,
sold
boom,
like 400
boom.
Of them
right.
already, yeah. And we've got a call.
Oh, it was so bad.
Yeah, and then so like Bradley Cooper ends up.
You know, I'm gonna say something crazy here. This movie needed more mop.
Yeah,
you think? The mop is the best part of the movie. Yeah. Like, it really was. Like,
what do you mean?
When they were talking about, like, the mechanics behind the mop, when they were talking about how to sell the mop, when they were talking about how QVC worked, that was the most interesting part of the film.
I can see
that. It's easy to sit there and look at this movie and go, well, they should have never made a movie about a mop.
That's not true.
The problem wasn't the mop. The problem was everything else.
The people holding the mop was the problem.
Yeah, it was like
interesting parts do revolve around seeing the actual mop, not talking about it or designing it, but like the mop.
Yeah, like when we're doing stuff that involves the mop, the movie picks up. It's when we're off about the mom and the plumber and
the traditional tropes of
like it was, that's the stuff where you're just like bah, bah, wah, wah, wah. Yeah. I don't care. It's like, but whenever, but all of a sudden when Bradley Cooper's telling you how QVC works and he's explaining
pretty,
how the stage rotates and here and she's like, well,
and
here's
Joan Rivers,
here's the way to sell them up, and here's Joan Rivers.
That actually sounds kind of cool.
Like that was you know, it's real easy to be like, it's a dumb movie about a mop, but the dumb mop's the best part of the movie.
The advantage, like the advantage, you put any other actor in that role, it doesn't work. But because Bradley Cooper is so magnetic and energetic.
That's a hard monologue to give without sounding like a because he basically just ejaculates his resume all over her.
Yep.
But he does it in such an understated way that he's like, you know, and he's like, look, without being condescending, he's like, okay, you don't know where you're at or the opportunity that's laying in front of you.
Right.
And you need to.
I'm not here to be a dick. Like, I'm here to help you.
No,
and
he's caring. He cares about her from the start.
Exactly. And he also knows that if this is a good product and they can sell a ton of it, he's going to make a bunch of money.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, and like, it's going to pad his numbers
as well. In its own way, it is this kind of neat little ode to capitalism that you don't really get out of Hollywood very often.
Yeah.
That it's like, this lady, like, she built a better mousetrap.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
I see the story that he saw in it. Like what intrigued him?
The skeletal structure is there.
Yeah, I just think he got too fixated on these other things.
I agree. It's an interesting story, and maybe like to tell someone over coffee, or maybe to like read a book about. But what's presented in the script, the characters, the family stuff, all that crap, it's just not interesting.
Yeah.
But if you were to tell the story of this lady that did this and made her own mop and went through these battles, that's an interesting story.
Right.
You could do that, right? But
it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So they don't sell any.
They don't sell.
Which is just like freaking out,
right?
And because
now they've mortgaged the house again,
right?
They're so far in debt.
They got a warehouse full of mops,
and they say you got to file bankruptcy. You're gonna have to.
That's the first time.
The dad and the intruder.
Everybody's
just
on her immediately. So she ends up calling, or Bradley Cooper calls her and says, "Look,
sorry,
I don't know
what
happened."
Which I thought was so crappy. Like, I know that happened, but it was his guy, and his guy didn't know how to use it. Why would, in real life, would someone not give him?
Also, I think the way QVC actually works is that it's already sold. They've already made the purchase.
Is that right?
Oh, QVC buys them, and then they sell
bought.
Them?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, like,
I think that's not a stretch at all.
Because this was also very early in their infancy.
They may have changed
so
it.
Their business
but I know the way they work now, because we work with them.
Yeah.
They buy it.
Well, I thought it was also very unbelievable for Bradley Cooper to care so much about her
and then
say, sorry,
like,
you're not going to get another chance.
Well, not even sorry. Like, it's your business. Like, it's not my problem.
Because he does make a reference about, like, well, the contract indemnifies you for 30% of them. But he was like, but, you know, you'll never see it, or not all of it.
Right. So, you know, she has hit rock bottom at this point. Like,
and honestly, 30% should cover her costs.
Should.
Like, you know, like, I mean, I can't, if her margin
is that low,
why on a $20 item, she should not be,
the
cost of manufacturing should not be $18 on a $20 item.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Yeah, which is, they never really, like, she's like.
They don't give you numbers.
They never give you, they're just, mm-mm. so we get another part where the manufacturer,
she goes back to,
Bradley Cooper's in a meeting,
and she just walks right in and
has a whole little sit down, and she's like, look, let me sell it. Like, I created it. He's like, who sold you the mop to begin with? I did. Let me. This is another really good scene with them.
And this is
let me do it.
This would be a culture shift for QVC, because he made it very clear about how QVC has celebrities on there selling items.
Right.
And they don't want regular people because they're selling aspiration. I want to look like the people on Falcon's crest.
Falcon.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Falcon crest. Yeah. And so, like, a regular person. You don't aspire to be a regular person because you've already achieved that.
Yeah. So they kind of, he's like, all right, fine. Like, it's your money. Like, we'll give you a shot. And they get her all dazzled up, and she looks, you know, she's dressed to the nines.
And she's like, hold on a second.
She's like, wait
a second,
let me try something. And she walks.
She's like, I'm going to change just one thing.
Yeah, and she comes back out, and she's wearing the exact same thing.
What she came in before they dressed her up.
And Bradley Cooper's like, you said one thing. Like, I don't know.
She comes in, and what she came into the building in.
Slacks and a blouse.
Slacks and a blouse, and her hair is like up in a ponytail.
Yeah.
So she goes out, and he's like, look.
When you get out there.
People freeze all the time. And she's like, no, I'll be fine. And she walks out, and this is
just when I got done being stressed. And I'm like, oh, she's got another shot. She's going to nail it.
Yes.
And when she's as
soon as the light turns on, she locks up.
For like a minute straight. And then I just go, oh, my. Like, I got so stressed again for her. This is the other part where I'm just like, this is
like
terrible.
Cindy Brady on the quiz show.
Right. So finally.
And he's yelling, do something.
Say
start
something.
Talking.
Imagine them in their underwear.
So finally, you know, it's like, we got a call. And she's like, we got a call.
Great.
And I didn't like this because. because I was like, why would they have a call?
Right.
She hasn't
done anything
this
yet.
This is what I was thinking about for the first. This is what I thought they were going to do the first time they were watching TV. I'm like, why are I thought she was going to pick up the phone and be a fake caller
for
the guy, you know, and be like, oh, did you just have to blah, blah, blah? It's so easy. And then, so when this happened, I'm like, there it is.
There it
is.
Yeah.
The best friend calls
in and kind of breaks the ice.
Which I love this part because it's like, it was a reversal of what they were doing in the Kmart parking lot. Yeah. Her pretending to be a customer.
Exactly.
I thought that was
nice throwback to the better scene of
this
movie.
Actress, I was trying to place her. She's on Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
She's the one that got pregnant by one of the guards.
Correct.
Spoilers.
Yeah. What happened in the first season?
It did. That's true. Yeah, I can't really spoil it.
But again, another fun relationship, her and her best friend that we just don't see enough of.
Yeah. And they're very good together. Mm-hmm. Like those two actors are very good together.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
they start selling. They sell like 50,000.
Yeah,
right?
Immediately
they get up to the 50,000.
In real life, she sold 18,000.
Okay.
Oh, really?
But from what I understand, that sold it out. They changed the number for some reason. But
just
dumb.
To be bigger and more,
because 50 sounds
better than 18.
Yeah, 18 sounds like
more is at stake.
And apparently, I did a little bit of reading. Apparently, she loves to go on TV and sell this stuff. And
does she still do it?
I don't know if she still does, but until relatively recently, and she would go at midnight. She loved to go on at midnight and just sell stuff.
That's weird.
And was great
at it.
That's
funny. Now she's the number one seller.
Yeah.
Did you find out if she actually had a sister or not?
I did not.
Okay.
But I know that she holds 100 patents.
Yeah. Yeah.
My guess is some of those she purchased.
Probably.
People came to her at some point.
Which they show you later.
Yeah.
Is that people, yeah.
But that, and I think 28 or 29 of them have the good housekeeping seal of approval, which is
good.
Not easy to achieve.
So she's own.
Yeah.
She's her own conglomerate.
Yes.
She seems like a cool and interesting person.
Oh, that sounds like a much better movie.
Yeah. What I would have liked to have seen was her starting with the mob. And then going to do other things, maybe having some adversity. I know you can't tell everything, but go on to a few things. But literally, you know, just jumping forward, it's like, you know, there's a mop, and then, she went on to do all these other things.
And then, boom, she's in a big, beautiful office with bad hair and a suit. And
shoulder pads.
It felt like Hunger Games Part 2. Where it's just like you're waiting the whole time for them to get to the Capitol. She's in that movie too. Hold on, there's a trend here.
Yeah.
But no, it's like when you're waiting.
Well,
to get
at least
to the
they
Capitol.
Only made one of these.
Yeah, she was trying to get him to make that second one. She's like, guys, I've done this.
The first half, Joy Part 1 is about the making of the handle. And Joy Part 2 is about the mop.
And then the appendices.
Yes,
don't forget those.
Oh. Joy 3, the bucket.
So she ends up selling all these, and then it's you know, everybody's super happy about it. And then at this point, because they have to make so many more, the manufacturer is jacking up his prices to create more.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, okay, well, let's deal with that in a second. So they end up sending her half-sister down there.
Without her permission.
Without her permission.
Like the dad
sends her.
And the sister's a bitch from the beginning.
The whole time.
I hated her so
she's
much.
She's constantly like, it's so weird because in the beginning of the movie, they make it feel like they're sisters. Like she's looking over her shoulder and they're into it together. But by the time we get to, but when they're adults, they're at each other's throats.
Yes.
And she's like, I had all these plans and now you've come in here with this stupid idea and now you're ruining my plans for this business. So she goes down there and she ends up agreeing to the terms of this guy and it screws everything up. Joy kind of says, look, we priced it at this for a reason. And now you've jacked up our production costs. So now the $20 we had, we can't raise our prices.
Right.
So because you've jacked
profit margins shrunk.
You've screwed everything up. And then she ends up, I'm trying to think.
Well, and this really comes into play later. What she agreed to by paying them, basically, admitted their guilt. I don't know what the word is.
Well,
but
it gave the production company an opening to take the patent,
right?
And to make it there, like to make it.
It put her patent under their umbrella.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Exactly.
So at this point, I just did not care about the movie anymore. Right. So, you guys picked up. I knew that it was getting messy and hairy on the business side, but I just checked out. Yeah. I didn't. At one point, I looked at my husband. And I said, "I'm going to kill Tom O'Keefe." As soon as the credits hit, I'm like, "Is he still up?" Because I'm texting his ass.
He's a dead man.
Hey, I don't make the movies. Yeah.
Sometimes these are the best ones though, because we can talk about how much we hate a movie.
Yeah.
So sometimes these are the most fun to talk about. Honestly, because we all, not all, totally hated it, but a lot of us really hated it.
Yeah. So she ends up. She's like, you know what? I'll deal with it. And it's like, it was kind of like this mob rules where she's like, you don't represent me.
Yeah, this is the scene from the trailer that makes her seem like a badass.
Don't you
ever
speak on my behalf.
Never speak on my behalf. You never do anything. So this
is actually,
Aunt
Jemima? Was that like a, did you just do like a Creole accent?
What
was that?
Wrong with you?
I thought you just did like a weird Southern accent.
So that is one thing that I wanted to mention is that she does start to do an accent.
Yeah.
Like there are scenes where she has an accent and then it drops in and out. And it's like, I feel like Jennifer Lawrence is a good enough actress where that accent shouldn't drop in and out. Like, if you're going to do it, you
well,
do
she,
it.
Well, she's really British. That's just how good she is. She's never let the accent slip.
Never, ever.
Yeah.
She's Creole, actually.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention the plumber, now that you said Creole. Like,
oh,
I'm not going to talk about it.
I'm just going to add 20 minutes to the show.
I knew they were going to start dating, though. I'm like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a given.
She was a little bit, like, apprehensive, and she's like, who is this man in my bedroom? And then later, she's like...
She's all about
making
it.
Making breakfast.
Yeah.
She's like, put it in me.
Ew, she did not say that.
She did.
No, she did not.
Got breakfast.
The guy saw a director's cut.
A different movie.
Such a boys' locker room. Oh,
yeah. He's from a foreign country. Guess it'd be a director's uncut.
Hey-o.
So
she ends up. She goes to this manufacturing
in California.
In California,
she's like, now I'm gonna have to fly there and fix the
right,
mistake.
And fix
was
the
part
whole
of
thing.
That.
So she sits down with like. The most shit, like if they could find a more shady looking dude, like I don't know where they would
have
found him.
Well, she flew all the way there and she's like, I need to meet with Gerhard or whatever his name was.
The guy's like, he's not here.
And she's like, no,
that's fine,
I'll
just
wait. Yeah.
And then he comes around the corner and he's wearing like, you know, a hoodie and he's got super long hair and a big beard.
He looks like a janitor.
He did look like a janitor. He's like, I'm Gerhard. Yeah. And she's like,
that's a machine shop. What do you
expect? I guess
that's
true.
Wearing a tux?
No, I don't.
But he seems more like the manager, like the owner. Not the owner, but you know what I mean? Like
It was like they ran out of actors and grabbed a cameraman. Hey,
it's funny. My parents own printing companies.
Yeah.
And so, like, there was a lot. Like, my dad owned a printing company, but if you asked to see the owner, he came out and. He had on a shirt that was covered in ink, and his hands were always dirty.
Right.
And it wasn't weird to me because I was like, "That's exact." Especially because
a functional shop looks like that,
and they're pretty small time.
They were,
you know what I mean.
It looked like the only thing they were making
was
the mops.
I think the bigger point he's making is the guy looks like a POS.
Yes.
Like Zach, he looked like a shady piece of
crap. My dad looks like a
I think the whole thing was that this little business had nothing going on.
Right.
And they stole her charging all these fees, that was their income. So.
Yeah, so they're sitting there and she realizes, she's like, look, this is not the way it's gonna work.
And I think just connecting dots that they did not connect for us. I think what was going on is that they were doing this to a lot of inventors.
Yeah.
And the difference is most products fail.
Right.
And as long as your product failed, you would never get exposed.
Right.
But by finally getting a product that didn't fail, it exposed what they were doing. It was almost like the scam the producers.
Exactly.
Where it's like, oh, we can, as long as the play isn't a hit, we're okay.
Right.
And I kind of think that's what they were doing, is that everybody's got their little, it's like being a vanity publisher. It's like most people that have their book published through vanity publishing are awful, and every once in a while it's 50 Shades of Grey, which is awful but also popular.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of
that's a good
what
point
happened to
I, yeah, yeah
now
that's
this
a very good point.
This part made no sense. Why would she think going to the bathroom, she was going to find a secret compartment to get to the warehouse?
I don't think that she did.
But the fact that worked, though, I mean, that convenient.
So, like, I think the original idea was, like,
what was she going to try to do
in
the
my brain, it was just kind of like, okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom, I'm going to regroup, and then I'm going to come back.
It just seemed like
just
she
so
went
happened,
there, and then it was like, oh, secret
and then,
passageway.
Then she just so happened
like,
to find
the statue
door.
Of Shakespeare with a button.
Yeah,
let me just slide down a pole.
Made no sense.
I am in my 30s. I have been in thousands of women restrooms, and I've never found a secret compartment that leads to a warehouse. Ever.
Why was that there?
And I've been looking. They're not there.
It just was so
convenient. She just moved one trash can, and it was like, oh.
And it goes right into the workshop.
I just thought that was the dumbest thing.
And she walks in and she sees that she sees all the molds.
Now I think about it, was this warehouse owned by Chuck Berry?
Yeah.
And she picks up the one blueprint.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, she sees all the molds there.
It was just
a very convenient
set of circumstances
to
go down.
But they realized they needed to wrap this movie up.
Yes.
So, you know, the guys kind of walk
same way
in.
By this episode.
Yeah. The guys walk in and they're just kind of, you know, they end up arresting her for trespassing. So then they have to bail her out. And then they have a sit down.
Trudy and the dad and everyone has to fly there. Now they're like, we had to bail you out. You need to file bankruptcy. Sign these papers.
Well, they had to sit down with that lawyer. And the guy's like,
the lawyer's
look,
there too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, this is what happened because she did this.
Your half sister screwed you by agreeing to this deal.
I had like the story that I would like to see is this. The half sister being like, "Yeah, I screwed you on purpose."
Yeah, like I thought that was going to go. This scene, I thought it was the whole family was in cahoots to steal the patent, like because they were so pressuring her to sign
big
the bank
time. Yeah,
because the
yeah.
thing is, from the signing the bankruptcy paperwork standpoint, like they were like, "You have to sign this right now."
Right, no, that's what I thought.
And
was
it's
so
like,
weird,
and it was like, but.
Why?
No, you don't. Yeah. Like, you can file for bankruptcy tomorrow because you know what happens? You just owed money you weren't going to pay for one extra day.
Right.
Like, it's not like there's a point where you're not allowed to do it anymore. What
are they? Right. You either are dragging it out and not
you go to court. Yeah. Like, that was the
option. And then you file it. It takes months to wind through that process.
Yeah,
they took a page out of Axl Rose's book.
Yeah.
just sign this before we hit the stage. Yeah. You got to worry about it. It's a thing.
You're right.
It's not a deal.
It did seem like that, and that would have been more interesting.
Yeah.
But nothing ever happened. Like that, there was no interesting twist or turn.
Well,
it was
the
just
sister's
like,
the sister's been like nipping at her heels this entire movie.
And the sister's been very jealous of her.
Yeah,
from the get-go.
So I assume that like she knew what she was doing because she had been running De Niro's like auto body shop.
Right.
So
and
I
gun
had
range.
To. Yeah, and gun. No, the gun range was next door.
He didn't own the gun range. He just operated there.
Yeah, oh, I thought he allowed it to be on his premises or something. I thought
he let it happen,
but it wasn't his.
But it wasn't his.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So, I thought that like the sister set her up. She's like, of course I did this.
Right.
But anyway.
But never happened. That's
never
not
happened.
Anything.
So she signs the papers immediately.
Which
and then
I thought
she
was
sits
weird
down
too.
And figures out all of trademark and copyright laws in the matter of 12 hours.
Montage.
Yeah.
She literally crunched. And then all of a sudden, all the answers were in this book.
And I don't know how this story really played out, but I will say, based on where this woman has ended up.
That's true.
It's not entirely
unplausible. That's a good point.
That she's clearly very smart and very talented. And is good at figuring things out. So
it's possible she could have gone through all that
it's
stuff.
It's possible she could have sat down with a... Because, I mean, they show all the pages laid out, but it's at the end of the day, it's just a contract.
Right.
You know, she just finds the loopholes in the contract and does a little bit of legwork.
Right.
And this is the part that you see in the trailer where she's got sunglasses on.
Kevin, you're leaving a very important part out.
Oh, please tell.
She cut her hair.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
When they showed her in front of the mirror, I was like, don't do the I'm going to cut my own hair thing. And then she pulls it. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. She's cutting her own hair.
So she cuts her hair. Puts on AV.
You know, the other thing going back to the trailer that irritates me. There's a scene in the trailer where she's like, you know, I can't accept this deal, and I won't.
And
like they cut to the next scene, and she's very tough. And in the actual movie, they're like, "No, you will." And she's like, "Okay." Like I'm just like, "Whoa!"
I'm telling you, you got to go back and watch the trailer for this movie and see how they packaged
it. It's pretty impressive how they changed the whole movie.
So now it looks like this might get kind of badass. Although we're pretty far into this movie, she's got her sunglasses and her jean jacket.
Yes.
She's at a hotel, and then you know this random guy with that tech, like a cowboy. Hat
yeah,
walks
well, she's in Dallas.
Leave the door open, you know? And then she talks to him. She's like, yeah, I read all these papers, and you can't do this, and you've been stealing my money.
Well, not even that.
I
called China, and like the guy over there is like, I don't know what you're talking about.
This guy's never heard of you, and you were supposed to be paying him. So right now, the way I see it, you're embezzling. I could have talked to my lawyer, but I'm going to give you the chance to work
this out. I'm going to give you like the next 10 seconds.
And he's like, I'll give you back, what, $20,000?
I'll give you back the $50 you paid us plus
$20. But then he says,
the look on her face is like, No.
Not
like, okay.
Enough.
Like she doesn't say a word. He talks himself into all this. Like,
right.
Okay, I'll pay you 50 plus another 50, and then it just like keeps building.
Right.
And then she walks out.
Well, she ends up getting like 100 over, and then she ends up having him sign like this piece of paper that doesn't look legally binding at all.
It's like a napkin.
Right. And I was about to say she's like sign here initially, and I was about to say
and
like,
she's adding stuff to it. I was like, once a lawyer draws a contract, you can't touch it. Like,
no, you can add without
the lawyer there, right? Like the lawyer
had him initial it.
I guess that's true.
But there's no notary. I thought he was going to be like, that was the other weird thing. You can't just sign a piece of.
This was a legal Zoom napkin, by the way. So it's okay.
They had that notary like on standby when she was filing
for bankruptcy.
Right, but for this like, transaction, hey, you don't need a notary?
Come on in. Like, I know it's like midnight, but hey, we got a notary.
Well, you
on
can
call.
Do that. I mean, there are people that that's their only business, and they will charge you, you know, a couple hundred bucks for 10 minutes to to come out and do that.
Oh,
that's,
but the point anybody is, can become a notary. Yeah. My mom was a notary. But I mean, like, I'm just thinking, like, they had her on standby waiting outside.
Well, yeah, because they want it.
Right.
And now they were at a hotel. There is a chance that, like, the hotel
had a notary
on staff. Like, there's a lot of businesses where somebody is also a notary on staff.
I'm with you.
Like, but that's, okay. It's not hard to obtain. Because basically, they just give you a seal, and you're just all you are is a witness to a signature.
Yeah. I see.
Like, that's nothing.
Professional witness.
Yeah.
Sweet. But the bigger point we're missing here is that the largest and most important paperwork in this film
is
was I got a napkin, and there was no notary. Like,
right. There's nothing.
Because it looked cool for her to be negotiating with her sunglasses and all
freaking
that.
Freaking out. But, so then we flash forward. Like, she walks out.
And this is where they tell us, instead of showing us
correct
how great this woman's life was.
Right.
As she didn't know as she was walking away that she would end up in a mansion.
Oh, good.
And
it's like the last 30 seconds of Unbreakable.
Yeah.
And then
wait, what?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so they pretty much tell you that she has, like, you know, over 100 patents. And
she has a mansion, and the family sued her, but she still supported them.
And then
she has
a sit down with Bradley Cooper.
Love this. Now, this callback again, the Cooper scenes were good.
Yeah.
And he says, they kind of joke around, but how does he say this?
In the beginning, they were like, right now we're friends, but there's
friends
always
in commerce.
Friends in commerce, adversaries in commerce.
But we could still be friends.
We could still be friends. So he sits down, he's like, I guess we're adversaries in commerce.
And she's like, friends for
but we're still friends. Because I guess somebody wants to come after her.
The guy, Barry Diller, the guy that...
So I thought he said Dillard. And I was like, is Dillard connected to this?
No,
I thought he did too.
Okay. Diller. Okay. And, Barry Diller was very involved with, like, cable television.
Okay.
And he was starting the Home Shopping Network.
I'm with
That's what HSN was. When they were saying HSN
was
the
Home Shopping Network. Okay.
And so basically he was saying, like, hey, like, they're going to come at you, and they're going to come at you hard, and you're going to think that you don't have any power, and you have a lot of power.
Because they want you,
because you can sell products.
And he's still working at QVC, so, like, she's basically going to jump ship from QVC to go to HSN.
Yeah, and he's basically saying, hold them up.
Then they're going to be competitive.
Hold them up for a bunch of money,
because
you can get it.
Right.
You know?
And that was a cool little scene. Just goes to what you were saying about them being a couple.
Right.
Or at least love interests, where, like, and they kind of hint at it briefly.
It's not a plot line.
No,
you know
not
I mean?
At
like,
all.
Never,
like, they kind of, like, skirt around it a little bit, but they never really... touch it again.
It's a reason why they've just been in four movies in the last, like, 3 years together.
Right.
They have
good
chemistry
together.
They are
good together.
They have good.
That's Siriana or whatever didn't do very well.
Oh, Serena?
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
It was terrible as a viewer to see her be so strong in not the boardroom, but in the office meetings, and then just get walked on by her family.
Yeah.
It just the character that she played, even though she did a good job, was just so confusing. You just wanted her to fight so bad with her family and stand up to them the way she stood up to.
Well, then apparently, according to the movie, the family sues her.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that sounds fascinating. You should have filmed that.
Do that movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. But again, like,
You should cut out the first 40 minutes establishing the family and then go to the part where they're fighting over, like, that sounds interesting.
Yeah,
right.
Her building her network, her getting 100 patents, her doing all this, and, like, showing. They should have, like, fast forward a little and showed it, but instead, again, they just tell you, jump forward, looks a little older, and then it's like,
well, so she's having another meeting with, like, another couple, which I thought, in that couple's defense, like, well done bringing your newborn child into this meeting. Like, if you want sympathy, done.
But this was cool, because I did think this probably shows how the real person was.
I think,
like,
that's probably
that was
true.
A great scene to show that she would help people. And I bet that's,
like,
what she actually did.
Like a handheld clothes steamer. And she was like, can you stay over a day?
Yeah,
and...
I thought that scene was just kind of cheesy and predictable.
It was totally cheesy.
Like,
absolutely.
She was so, like, you know, I need 100 by tomorrow, and I'm going to call your boss. And, like, show that she's going to help people, but I just thought it was cheesy.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a good idea, like, looking as to who she probably is.
Right.
I think they were trying to show that this person, like, this whole movie's about her, and you don't really see much about her. And I mean, you see a couple little things. And I think they were just trying to show that she's this great woman that's done all this for people. This is the part where, like, in the contract, like, make this woman look good or something, you know? But and then they go back to her walking.
Oh, yeah. They flash back to her walking.
But she never
out.
Would have known that she would do
no
all this
idea.
As she was walking down the street. And then she stopped at a store and it started snowing.
That was weird.
What the hell was that scene?
God, I am so
what was
glad.
That scene?
I thought
what did that mean? What was that?
Someone
thought
because I was not, like, an artsy fartsy movie lover that I was just missing all
what
of this
stuff. What did that
stuff.
Mean? She's walking down a street in Texas.
Yes.
Where obviously it's hot and there's no snow. So, but they didn't say like, oh, it's Christmas and she's
away
from her
family.
Well, it was
like there's a machine making snow.
But right,
above
but
her,
like, but
what
like,
was she looking at in the window?
I'm trying to remember.
It was like a train.
Yeah. Okay. And then there was snow, but they never were like, this is Christmas and she's away from her family, or oh, it never snows. Like there was no callback. Yeah. It was just weird that she was walking down the street, looked in the window, looked up, and there was fake snow on her, and then it was the end.
That was
like,
the end. That was
what
it.
On earth?
I don't understand.
Again, I thought it was something artsy fartsy that I missed.
No.
So I'm so glad that I didn't.
I mean, it could have been, but if four of us didn't understand it, then
I think
I'm guessing
one of us would have. No,
right,
it.
Right.
No idea.
So it was just weird,
and that's kind of where we end this movie. And it's just, it was a swing and a miss.
If anybody should have liked that movie, it should have been me. I'm a female. I've run two businesses. I mean, this is
and
right.
And honestly, that's part of why I invited you on the show. Well, for real. Like, that's,
well, that it, even my husband was like, I can't believe you didn't like that. I'm like, no, it sucks. She did so many things wrong and she wasn't strong enough. And so, you know, I, as a woman who's created two successful businesses, I wanted to root for her and I wanted to love this movie. And then I wanted to slap the director because he did a poor job.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a complete, like, I'm glad you said that, because like I didn't know how I was supposed to interpret, you know, she was super strong in the business world, but then she was like getting, like you said, getting walked on by her family. So I think she has one moment of a backbone where she ends up saying, you got to move out, you got to move out,
but then they never do.
But
then
never
I think
do.
They're also well first of all, we don't know because we haven't done that much research, but first of all, that all could have really happened.
Could've.
Like the family lived with her for that amount of time, then they sued her, but she, I mean, you can't fight with truth. So if she did that,
right,
it's confusing for the film aspect, but that literally may be the type of person she was, and they may have been trying to say, like, as terrible as they were to her, she's such a good person that she did this. I'm just guessing.
It could be. I don't know. You know. And it's just, you know, I like we said before, David O. Russell has done some great flicks.
Definitely.
Three Kings and... Yep.
I Heart Huckabees? I like that.
No.
Didn't like that one?
No.
I like Jason Schwartzman, and like I just like those quirky type of movies.
But yeah, and then Silver Linings Playbook, which is available on Netflix.
American Hustle,
I mean, which is fantastic. And then, you know, like, you know, this,
and then this bomb.
It's
awful.
It's not good.
Don't go see it.
Unfortunately, don't. Yeah, I cannot recommend it at all. Well, there you go.
Okay. Well, the real actor character has lots of other inventions.
Such as?
Huggable hangers.
Ooh, and I love those.
They mentioned that in the movie.
They do.
Say it, the velvet hangers.
What a best-selling product. Home Shopping Network's best-selling product as of 2010. More than 300 million have been sold.
I woke up for 30 seconds at the end when they're like, she went on to, you know, because they're the thin velvet hangers. That are great for like wide necks.
Genius.
You guys are all boys, so you don't know this. But for ladies, like with like silky blouses and wide necks. Oh, huggable hangers are great. They should have done the movie about that.
Don't you just shove your clothes in a drawer?
Is that another way that works?
Forever Fragrant. It's a line of home odor neutralizers, including sticks, wickless candles, scent stands.
Oh, yeah. You shove these
spheres,
sticks in an oil thing. And
drawer liners and shoe shapers.
Huh.
Yeah.
She broke an HSN record on January 31st, 2010 by selling 180,000 of them in a day.
Dang.
Jeez. Why can't we make something like that?
Because she's made it all.
Clothes It All Luggage System. It's a line of wheeled luggage developed with a special organizational feature like a padded laptop compartment, a toiletry organizer, a pocket for plane tickets, and removable dividers.
Jeez.
I bought something like that for my wife. And it's like metal, and it like, it's the exact maximum size that overhead storage can be, and it's got like a GPS tracker built into it.
Oh, really?
And
so
it's got
your luggage,
and it's got like a charger port, so like it has a built-in battery. So if you get like stuck in a layover,
right,
you can like plug in your phone and it'll charge, and plug in your laptop.
Wow,
it's got all sorts of like fanciness.
That's pretty nice.
It's pretty spiffy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Does it have like an airplane mode though? Since it has GPS on it.
That's interesting. I don't know how that works.
You might crash the plane. You can't have that crap on. They yell at
you. At least I'll know where she's at. I'll be able to tell people, be able to tell people where she crashed. So the performance platforms produced in conjunction with the Grasshoppers division of the StrideRite Corporation.
Oh.
These are shoes with rubber platform heel that allows the wearer to have extra height. She invented lifts.
Ooh, I need those.
Oh.
I thought she was the one involved with the Grasshoppers division.
Yeah.
I was pretty sure.
Were you? Yeah.
No, I have no idea what that is.
Like, is that a really big? That's just a lift. They've had those forever.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Comfort and Joy textiles made from Supima cotton and down.
I see what they did there. Comfort and Joy.
Yes. This bedding has a reversible zippered duvet covered and sheets that are attached to the bed skirt for removal and cleaning. She invented a line of reading glasses that are sold in sets of three or more so that they can be kept around the home and office for easy
access.
Oh, God,
that's got to be riveting. Joy 2, the sequel.
Yes.
Three-pack reading glasses.
I know. I'm like, what? That's just multiples of the same thing.
My mom just goes to Dollar General and buys three at a time.
So you can become a millionaire packaging three pairs of glasses
together.
Three of
those together, I could sell
them. I'm going to have so many ideas after
that. Yeah.
Yeah, me. So... anyway, that's Joy. Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
I do, and actually hearing everybody talk about this, I decided to go with a different movie than what I was going to do. If you want another maybe a little bit more compelling or enjoyable inventor movie, I would say 1988's Tucker, A Man in His Dream, if you haven't seen that, directed by Francis Ford.
Actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Directed by Francis Ford Coppola. It stars Jeff Bridges. And he's basically, he's an inventor. Joan Allen plays his wife. She's great. A very young Christian Slater's in it, too. And it's about a guy who, Tucker, he's a real guy. He was an inventor. He took on the big three, the automakers, and inventing basically a better car. And a lot of stuff that we see in cars later on were this guy's inventions.
Sweet.
Things like headlights that would tilt as you turn. So if you turn to the right, they would sort of aim to the right so you could see into the turn more. It's a fun movie. And there's embellishments in the movie, although it stays fairly true to what this guy actually did. And it's a great throwback kind of old-timey movie because it's set, I think, in the 30s and 40s. And Joe Jackson actually did the soundtrack.
Nice.
So it's very... kind of jump jive whale kind of a soundtrack. But if you have not seen it, I think Lucas might have produced it.
Yeah, really? That sounds right. Or Spielberg,
yeah.
Maybe?
No, Lucas.
Okay.
Because they actually, between he and Coppola, they actually owned all the Tuckers. Because there were, I think, 50 that were actually made. They're very collectible.
And they're tight. Like
Zoetrope Studios.
Lucas directed the montage scene in The Godfather.
Yep.
What?
Like
after he shoots the police chief,
yeah,
and the throat, and yeah, the other guy, and then you go to that montage of like old timey sepia tone,
yeah,
like, that was all directed by George Lucas.
Yeah, they're tight
because and this was produced by executive produced by George Lucas.
It is a fun movie, which it sounds like as I was hearing you guys talk about this, I was like, I got a better movie because this
wouldn't be hard.
So it's very enjoyable and it's very cool. And there's actually a Lloyd Bridges is also in the movie. Nice. Jeff Bridges is dead, yeah. But they don't play. They're opposing. He's like one of the big three.
That's pretty good.
It is a really worthwhile. So if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's a fun movie.
Check that out.
Unlike this.
Yeah. No and, kidding. You know, speaking of, if I could piggyback your video recovery.
Oh.
There's a really interesting movie. I wouldn't say it's fun, but it was much better that kind of came and went. It was called Flash of Genius.
Yeah.
And it starred Greg Kinnear. And talk about, you know, when you hear the plot, you're just like, who wants to see that? But he plays the guy who invents the intermittent windshield wiper, mm-hmm. which sounds about as riveting as a mop.
As right? a mop, right? Yeah.
And,
but it's better.
But yeah, and then this is also a true story. And basically the big auto manufacturers just outright steal his idea. Mm-hmm. And they're like, F you, we have more lawyers. What you gonna do?
Right.
And he's like, well, I will fight you.
Doesn't he like... puts all his money up to fight them.
Yeah,
and
it takes
just,
20 years. Like, and it just destroys his life, and but it's totally worth seeing. It's, I remember when I reviewed it, I used to, when I was writing reviews before Review STL, I had to come up with little headlines for him, so I tried to come up with little funny headlines. That's just one of my favorites, because he's like on this quixotic quest to take down the big three auto manufacturers with his intermittent wipers, and I called it Tilting at Windshields.
Oh, nice. Look at you.
I was pretty proud of that one.
Wordsmith. So there you go. There's two nice double feature featuring the big three as the baddie.
But it just shows how you can take a true story over something that seems so pedantic as a windshield wiper or a mop, but the story can be riveting and the fight can be riveting, but you just have to have those characters and the script to back it up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we just saved people a lot of money if you just want to hit your Netflix.
Tom, you owe me like $12. I went to the laydown movies.
Send the invoice to Kevin.
The laydown movie.
Those are the only ones I'll go to anymore.
I'll forward your invoice to Joe.
Thank you.
It's funny. Like whenever Crystal and I have to see a movie like this, like for the podcast, mm-hmm. if I don't make it to a screening, we're more apt to go to the fancy like.
I feel like I could have done that this one
if
if it's a bad movie.
Get something out of it.
If it's going to be bad, we want to at least be comfortable.
Exactly.
I totally agree.
So if we're like, this looks bad, like Transformers 4, I was like... Like 3 hours?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to the fancy one.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to be comfortable for 3 hours.
Are there shrimp tacos? I'm in.
Yeah. Let's do
it's
it.
It's a Transformer.
It's a Transformer.
You love these Transformers.
He's terraforming.
Hey, Transformers. Say hello to your mother.
Oh, is this a Bud Light on the
Say hello to your mother for me.
So that's it for this episode. I guess we'll go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
I don't know all my stuff, but you can just go to KellyMano.com. I've got a podcast on there. I don't talk a lot about movies, but I do talk a lot about like my pet pig and other fun stuff like that. So, just go to KellyMano.com.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
Is that your real last name?
No. It's part of my last name.
I wish I had a fun last name like Butts.
It's part of it. It's half.
Yeah,
okay.
when you grow up with that, that's exactly what you're thinking.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
I don't know. Ask Michael Hunt.
It's Amanda Hug and Kiss as
well.
Yes. And I'm Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And I am Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you would like to continue the conversation online, we will be there waiting for you at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers, or you can follow us on Twitter at Real Spoilers, or you can email us at realspoilers@reviewstl.com. Our email address, it's not just for Harry Stein anymore. So feel free to write
starting
us.
In 2016.
Starting this new, turning over new leaf. So it's open to the public.
I'll take those firewalls off now.
Yes. Harry worked out all the bugs and now it's just working and it can handle all the traffic. So feel free to chime in. Also, we are available on iTunes, so feel free to go there and review and subscribe. And that way you'll never miss an episode. Why would you want to miss an episode
you
of this?
Never want to miss.
I sure wouldn't, Tom.
I wouldn't.
Wait a minute. That real spoilers? How does that work?
Yeah.
I'll take two of them.
Can I go home and review my own episode that I just did?
Sure. Absolutely.
And then you'll say my name on the next podcast.
Sure, very well done.
Absolutely.
Yes. Just make sure you make a really weird name, man. Like Pink Whale Moo or Cow Surfer Ninja Does All 27.
You got it.
American Beaner. Yeah. That was the last one where I'm like, I'm going to hell for saying this.
An American Beaner in Paris.
Yeah. American Beaner Goes West.
Yeah. American Beaner 2, The Search for Curly's Gold.
There you go. There you go. So, go there and review us. It helps us a lot. And when people stumble across the podcast, it helps that other people have said nice things about it. So we greatly appreciate that. So also, you can join our League of Show Sharers. So if you like an episode, feel free to share it. And if you want to write a little note to explain to people why you like it, that might help too.
It would, yes.
But we appreciate everything that people have been doing to help get the word out about the show and all the interaction we've been having on the Facebook page lately.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that. So.
And also, you didn't tell them about the new change for 2016. We are going to do a podcast on Star Wars every week.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I really would drive off of a bridge. Yeah.
Well, until you see the movie.
Yeah, I know. Okay,
until you see the downloads.
That
and,
will
yeah. and all of a sudden, you'll be doing Star Wars every week. Yeah. Like, whoa, right. People like that.
We're like,
more
what?
So that's everything. Thanks for tuning in. And until next week, Robert Kearns wins $18 million.
M, I say M-O-P, M-O-P-P, mop, M-O-P-P, mop, 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 bar. I say R-A-R-A-G.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.